On the menu, listeners, you're about to have a series of stories, not just one, because we're interviewing Chef Rick Tremonto, who he's going to tell us first of all about all his restaurants. Are they all in Chicago?
They are. They're all in Chicago. I have True in Chicago, which we'll be celebrating our 10-year anniversary this June, which we're
amazing.
Very excited about, with my partner Gail Gann. And I have a restaurant called Osteria di Tremonto, which is an Italian restaurant, and Tremonto Steak and Seafood, which both opened about 2 years ago up in the Westin Starwood Hotel on the north shore of Chicago, about an hour from Chicago.
Now, you have 4 cookbooks?
I have 7 cookbooks,
actually.
I have one called American Brasserie, which me and Gail wrote together.
Okay.
And that followed up with Butter, Sugar, Flour, Eggs, which
right.
we wrote together. And then I broke off and did a book called Amuse Bouche, which was very near and dear to my heart. And it's kind of like my golden child of all my books.
Aww.
Because it's the one that I've sold over 100,000 copies, and it's been a very special book. It was one of the first of its kind. It's now being taught in a lot of the culinary schools in the mm-hmm. Garmage classes about Amuse Bouche. And then I wrote a book called Fantastico, which was kind of like the follow-up from the True book, but only instead of little French plates, it was little Italian plates. And then I wrote the True cookbook with Gail again. And then I just published last year my Osteria book, which
right.
is all about the Osteria book. And I'm right about to finish my steak book. I'm doing a grilling steak book at home. And I just signed a deal with Tyndale Publishing House to kind of talk about my journey and almost like a testimonial book.
This is the new format. I have A Day in the Life of El Bulli.
That's right.
I have Eric Repairs on the line.
Right.
We have Heston Blumenthal.
This will be Rick Tremonto's A Chef's Walk.
Okay. Well, you're right on target. But this is the way everybody's writing now, because it's not enough, I think, for people to actually share the culinary, listen to the Food Network, read cookbooks, and learn about how to make dishes. They want to know every single detail that goes on in a restaurant. It's I don't know where it will lead.
Yeah. And, you know, I've had a very, non-traditional journey and upbringing and a very colorful upbringing.
What we want to do next. I mean, you come out of nowhere with a very unusual story.
Yeah.
Tell us your story.
A lot of people don't know. I mean, they know me for True and all the books and the Oprah show and all the fine dining, but they don't really know, some of the background pieces. And, I grew up in a very traditional Italian home. My mother was Abruzzi. My father was from Napolitan, from Naples. And I grew up in Rochester, New York, upstate New York, very blue-collar town. And, I was an only child. And
so am I.
And it was it had pluses and minuses. I had a big Italian family, but, a lot of cousins and aunts and uncles. My mom had 4 sisters, and my dad had 4 siblings and lots of cousins. But when I was 15, my dad went to prison, our whole life kind of got blown apart.
Yeah.
And I quit high school and got a job at 1977.
It must have been traumatic. What about your mother?
Yeah, my mom was a cleaning lady at a local high school and was a lunch lady during the day.
We lost
everything. We lost our house. Me and my mom ended up moving back
into
an apartment. And we started from scratch again. And in 1977, I needed a job. And, the choices for a kid that wasn't going to finish high school, that really didn't have any formal education of any kind behind him. My options were limited. I could go into the food service industry. I could become a mechanic. I could probably go, work in construction. But I understood food. I understood hospitality from both of my grandparents. My grandmothers actually had lived with us at one time or another before they had died. And really understood the celebration of food and was always dragged into the kitchen to help one of my grandmothers and my mom. Being the only child, I'm the only obvious choice to get dragged into the kitchen to help peel and
but
cook.
But you really signed up for something that turned out to be totally different.
Well, I always say food saved my life. I mean, when I needed a job and the first Wendy's old-fashioned hamburgers in upstate New York, which was opening with Dave Thomas and Dick Fox, in Rochester, applied and got the job, and I was just turning 16 and started to learn how to cook burgers and French fries and, just kind of understood that whole piece, and I did that for a couple of years, and I thought to myself, I could actually make a living at this. So then I went to work at a place called the Scotch and Sirloin, which was another upstate New York steakhouse chain. And
she understands steak too.
Yeah, then. Buffalo, yeah. Rochester, Syracuse, very, very much so. And I also could make more money hourly because they served alcohol, and I had just turned 18 then. So it was the next progression of also making a living. And then I had the opportunity to work at a place called the Strathallan Hotel in Rochester, which was kind of like the most fanciest French hotel and restaurant in Rochester. And the chef there was a gentleman named Greg Brohlman. And Greg used to work for Andre Saltner. He was the chef de cuisine in New York at Lutèce for many, many years. And he said, you know, Rick, if you're not going to go to finish high school and get your GED or go to culinary school and you want to become a chef, you should apprentice. You should be a journeyman. And you should go get out of Rochester and you go to the nearest major metropolitan city, which was New York City. So 1981, I moved to Manhattan, packed up my stuff, kissed my mom goodbye. And I also had a friend with me who I had met at the Strathallan, and her name was Gail Gand.
And that's where Gail comes in.
Yeah, she was from Chicago. She was going to art school in Cleveland at the Cleveland Art Institute, and she was going to RIT for art. We hit it off, and we realized that we wanted to, you know, kind of go to New York together. So we went to Manhattan and got a fifth floor walk-up apartment, you know. No money. We lived right across. It's funny because my bedroom looked right into the Joffrey Ballet.
Oh, that's not bad.
It was very interesting. We lived on West 10th Street, right across from Texarkana and Belducci's at the time.
Oh, wow.
Started to work at the Tavern on the Green. That was my very first job in New York City.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and kind of got thrown right into it and did that for a year, and I hated it. You know, it was too much volume. It was too chaotic. It was just crazy. And I heard that there was a gentleman from Buffalo, New York, who had come to town who was going to reopen a restaurant called The Gotham, and it was Alfred Portali. And I went in and talked to Alfred and, you know, explained that I was from Rochester and kind of told him my story and said, look, I just want to learn how to cook. And he said, great. So he hired me, and I started working at the Gotham.
That's amazing. Gail Green says it's the most influential restaurant, New York restaurant, in the past 40 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. And when I remember that time, you know, during the 80s, we had just gotten our 3 stars from Brian Miller at the time,
was
the food
critic.
I remember
Brian, yeah.
And, you know, there were line cooks in that kitchen named Tom Colicchio and Gail Gand and Tom Valente and Bobby Flay. And I mean, it was very interesting when you look at what Alfred had produced, you know, through the 80s, and not only his architectural cuisine, but the kids that he was turning out, the high quality kids that he was turning out, was amazing. So I owe a lot of my mentorship to Alfred. He really took me under my wing. And, you know, did New York for about 5 years. And then Gail was from Chicago.
She was from Chicago.
But we had met in Rochester when she was going to college. So, you know, we really felt that we wanted to get married and we wanted to move back to a place where we could actually, you know, raise a family. And she wanted to move back close to her family. So we moved back to Chicago, got married. And I started to work for a gentleman named Rich Melman with Let Us Entertain You, mm-hmm. and did that for a couple of years. And then I kind of describe it like this. New York for me was kind of like going to culinary high school. Going to Chicago was going to be my culinary college because I was learning about food cost and labor cost and working for a big company like Let Us Entertain You and kitchen design and really getting the economics piece down. But what was really missing for me was culinary grad school. And culinary grad school to me was Europe. And all the great chefs that I had worked for at that time, they all worked in Europe. And, you know, Alfred worked with Michel Girard and Jacques Maximum, and Greg had worked with Andre Saltner. So there was all this missing French. Yeah, there was this missing piece for me. So I remember going to Rich saying, look, you know, I don't have the means to get to Europe, and I really would love to go study in Europe for a little while. I think that would really kind of round off my culinary training as a journeyman, as a self-taught, you know, going out into the culinary field and apprenticing. So he introduced me to a gentleman in England named Bob Payton. And Bob was an amazing American in London who had a company called My Kind of Town. And he had a string of restaurants called Chicago Pizza Pie Factories and Windy City. And he had Chicago Rib Shack and some wonderful Chicago-based things in London. But he also had this amazing country house hotel called Stapleford Park Hotel. And Bob was very wealthy, and he had worked for J. Walter Thompson Advertising Agency.
Wow.
And then he came to England and opened up these string of restaurants all over Scotland and in Paris and Madrid and in London. But his passion was hotels, and he purchased this beautiful, stately home from Lord and Lady Gretton, from the Gretton family, who owned the Bass Beer Corporation. And it was in Leicestershire, England, called Stapleford Park. So Bob and Rich Melman were good friends. And
you pronounced that right, too.
and Bob flew us out to do a tasting for the board of directors and loved our stuff, me and Gail. And 6 weeks later, we had working papers and we're flying off to England, telling our parents and our, you know, the rest of our family that we're going to live in the north of England, up almost to the Lake District, you know, the Midlands.
That's where Peter's from, you know.
And Melton Mowbray, and you know, so
it's really the Midlands. The
Midlands. That's right.
The north stuff with Yorkshire, which is.
Thank you.
Well, nobody can hear because Peter doesn't have a microphone, but he's correcting the geography. He was a geography graduate from Cambridge.
So I landed at Stapleford, and I lived in a grace and favor cottage, a thatched cottage, and on the grounds of Stapleford. And me and Gail and Bob turned this country house hotel into this award-winning hotel. And we won every single award. We were the only Americans to receive a Michelin star. And just everything started to open up for us. And Raymond Blanc and Nico Ladanis and Anton Mosselman and all these wonderful British chefs started to come up and see what we were doing. And then they started to open doors for me and Gail. And we started to do stages. So Gail went to work for the Roux brothers, and I went to work with Pierre Gagnier. And I got to go
You were with Pierre.
And I got to go work with Michel Girard. And just all these amazing doors started to open for us. So that became culinary grad school for me.
Oh, that's
4 years
wonderful.
In England. Then we ended up going to London proper, because Bob had partnered up with a gentleman named Rocco Forte from Trust House Forte Hotels.
Right, of course.
And we reopened the Criterion Brasserie in Piccadilly Circus. Bob and Rocco took that project on and did that for a couple of years. And then Gail's mom died, and we ended up moving back to Chicago. Bob ended up dying in a car crash, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
And
you've packed in so much, Rick.
Yeah, and then when I got back to Chicago, went back to work for Rich again for about a year, and just it wasn't the same. I really wanted to do fine dining. I didn't want it. Rich was working on big, big volume restaurants like Mangiano's and the Corner Bakery and Wildfire, and I really wanted to do a boutique kind of thing. And so I met a gentleman named Henry Adanya, and me and Gail and Henry opened up a little restaurant in Evanston called Trio.
Trio.
And we were the original Trio, and that year, everything just kind of became national. I mean, we won 1994,
you won every award.
You know, in 1994, we won, you know, Best New Chef Food and Wine Magazine,
right.
And all 4 stars from the, Chicago Tribune, and James Beard Award, and we got another cookbook deal, and Gail got her show on the Food Network, and just everything exploded. And we opened up a brasserie called Brasserie Tea, and we did that for 5 years, and then there was a fire. And we lost that restaurant. And during that time, Rich had said, you know, I'd love to do something fine dining now with you guys after 5 years. And we went downtown and opened up a restaurant called True.
And Rally Chateau.
Rally Chateau, Rally Gourmand. Again, the awards,
wonderful.
All the accolades 10 years later. 7 books later. I mean, it's been...
That was the restaurant with the famous... Lucite steps with the caviar, was that
correct? The caviar staircase, yeah.
The caviar staircase.
Which I designed, yeah, absolutely.
You designed that.
Yeah, absolutely. Here we are.
And here we are, and you've expanded then to the other restaurants.
To the other restaurants.
But they all refer a little bit to your interests, right, with the osteria and also the steakhouse.
My Italian background, right. Yeah, so it all ties together in some way, shape, or form.
I was asking you before, your style of cuisine, cooking, your sensibilities are with Italian, French. 2 questions. One, you said also Asian, and I didn't know about that.
And my Asian piece is really just passion. You know, I love Asian cuisine. I love sushi. I've traveled, you know, all over Asia and in New Zealand and Australia, and just love Asian cuisine very, very much, and just kind of, you know, work it in when I can. But, you know, I'm very focused on my concepts. I mean, you know, it's kind of like I've been very blessed to almost like have a painter's palette where when I get up in the morning, if I want to work with caviar and foie gras, I go to True. If I want to work with, you know, braised short ribs and steak and I go to my steakhouse. When I want to do pizzas
like
and pots.
You're actually cooking still.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm in each of my restaurants one day a week, which is three restaurants.
In the kitchen.
And the other 2 days I'm in my office or I'm writing. Yeah. I have three boys. I do a lot of traveling to promote the books or to do food and wine festivals or to do television. I mean, we've done Top Chef, Iron Chef, Oprah. I mean, you know, we've done all the shows.
Did your mother live long enough to see you?
Unfortunately, my mom did not. My dad did. My dad just died of cancer about 5 years ago, and my mom died of cancer about 12 years ago. So my mom got to see the opening of Trio, but she never got to see True. She never got to see really any of the books. She never had the opportunity
and
to see.
And what about your dad? I mean, was he
my
just
dad
totally
just my
amazed?
Dad just yeah, my dad when he got out of prison, he stayed with, you know, my mom and dad stayed together. And
isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Too?
And my dad got to see up until my dad got to see True. He got to see three of my books and he got to see True, but he never got to see the Steakhouse or the Osteria or the last three books that I did. Yeah.
Now where do you come down on the experimental cooking? Because I mean, Chicago is such a hotbed of that now.
Yeah.
I mean, you did say you toured Spain.
Yeah, absolutely. With Jose Andres, my good friend. Yes.
Character. Yeah.
And you know,
and
got
you,
to,
we were Pierre Gagnaire.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, here's how I look at it. I look at it like a sandbox, and there's lots of toys in the sandbox. And as long as you learn the different techniques and you apply them accordingly, for me, it's fun. I don't have True is not you know, a scientific restaurant. It's not. I have a lot of young kids in there that are very interested in that, and we're doing some of those.
Real antsy to do this.
Yeah, we're doing some of those techniques, but we haven't built a whole restaurant around it like a Grant at Alinea you know, Wiley Dupree at WD. Yeah. We just haven't done that. That's just not my heart. You know, that's not where I was trained. But I do understand and use the techniques and apply them and salt and pepper them throughout my menu, but I haven't built a whole concept around, you know, that.
Are you itching to open anything else concept-wise?
You know, the only thing I'm really itching to open at this point is I would love to do a seafood place or something that's little heavier on seafood. But at this point, you know, my main mission in life right now, I mean, I'm 30 years of cooking in this business. It's the only thing I've ever done. I've never even had a paper route.
I thought you were going to tell me you were 30 years
old. No, I'm 46, but I've been cooking for 31 years
this year.
And I think that the second half of my life, if I'm 46 and I can at least hit it till I'm at least 70, is really ministry. I really want to start to be very involved in my church. I'm very involved in youth groups. I'm very involved in a lot of the young kids that are coming up and struggling in social pieces and economic pieces.
So you're sort of you're going back to the difficulties that you had growing up.
Absolutely.
Saying, no, I can help.
I can help. And I do a lot of work with.
And I'm willing to help.
I do a lot of work with Angel Tree. Angel Tree is an organization that has kids that have parents that are incarcerated. So I do a lot of work with those kids.
Now, you're in Charleston for a special reason. You're doing something rather splendid tomorrow night.
I am.
Perhaps you can talk us through. I mean,
you're teaming
with Craig McKee, who's a very well-respected local chef.
Yes.
I mean, how did you work the menu together? This is a luxury event.
This is a luxury event. Five courses. I ended up with the main course.
Okay. And what are you going to do?
You know, we're doing red wine braised pork belly
with
vanilla braised turnips.
Oh, that's good.
And a cherry, little cherry gastrique sauce. So, you know, we wanted to incorporate some local ingredients, some seasonal ingredients, some southern feel, but yet keep it with the Rick Tremonto twist.
You seem like you're having a good time here.
I'm having a great time. It's my first time here. I love it. You know,
isn't the city wonderful?
Just beautiful. Yeah. Love the history. Love how clean it is. It's very organized. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. Old, but yet extremely well kept. You know, I love it.
You realize something very interesting. Well, perhaps you don't. We're in the Charleston Place Hotel.
Right.
And we're having dinner at the Charleston Grill tonight.
Right.
This building was conceived and built by the then mayor of Charleston, who said, downtown Charleston is run down, and I'm going to single-handedly see if I can change that. So he built this building on the corner and a new city of Charleston has risen around it, surrounded by wonderful shopping. I think this place has been open about 15 years, I think. I'm really not exactly sure.
Yeah.
But it's a remarkable achievement, and if you walk around, you see what it's been possible to do with someone who had the vision to do that. And
absolutely.
But it's wonderful to hear that you have a vision in your own right.
Yes.
Of how you want to change the world. But I'm hoping that, and you must emphasize this for listeners, you're not getting out of the food game anytime soon.
No, not at all. I think that's the platform that God has put me on, and again, I've been very blessed in my career to achieve a lot of things, and I think what I want to be used is to inspire and to be able to help kids that maybe don't have a lot of hope and don't have a lot of financial means to be able to say, hey, look, you know, you do need to kind of pull up your bootstraps a little bit, and you do need to just stay grounded and stay focused. You know, our industry is an extremely difficult industry on people personally. I mean, there's a lot of access and excess to, drugs and alcohol, and the divorce rate's very high. And, you know, it's a challenging industry. And
it ranked, a few years ago, they did a survey, it ranks second in terms of drug and alcohol abuse. The first was computer programmer, so I figured this is why my computer never worked.
but again, there's a lot of access and excess in our industry, absolutely.
But you have so much to offer, and you certainly are inspirational to me, and I really appreciate you taking all this time to talk to us, Rick.
Thank you.
Is there a website we can go to?
Yeah, how about your website?
TramontoCuisine.com.
And spell it, please.
TRAMONTO cuisine.com.
That's it. All right. And everybody go to Chicago to eat, including us. We're due back very soon.
Nice. Well, we look forward to having you.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
Bye.